Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. In a youth sports culture that values winning above all else, Ted Flanagan has a story that's worth hearing. Last summer, he took his Little League team from Massachusetts to baseball's spiritual home in Cooperstown to play in a tournament. There, he learned firsthand about what he calls a subculture of ultra-competitive 12- and 13-year-old baseball in which boys have the bodies of college players and the skills to match. His kids weren't part of that culture, and out of 104 teams, Flanagan's team finished 104th, dead last. After the crushing defeat, he felt guilty and worried that he'd killed baseball for the 12 boys he'd brought to the tournament. Ted Flanagan has worked as a paramedic and as a professor in the health professions at Northern Essex Community College. He wrote about his Little League team's experience at Cooperstown and the lesson he learned on WBUR's Cognoscenti opinion blog page, and you can find a link to that at radioboston.org. And he joins us now, and Ted Flanagan, it's great to have you. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
And I loved your piece, and I really recommend that our listeners go to radioboston.org and listen to it, and listeners, we want to invite you into this conversation. Has youth sports culture gone too far? Is there way too much focus on winning? And do coaches have a responsibility to play kids at their level? And what about putting kids in a tournament in which they have no chance to win? Is it a bad idea, or are there lessons that can be learned from that? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. So, Ted, I want to hear just a little bit about this trip to Cooperstown. You'd been looking forward to taking your sons and the rest of the team to this tournament for a long time. Tell me about how this plan to do this came about.
So our local baseball system every year sends a team to this tournament. And it's hard, it might be hard for listeners to believe this, but even though we finished 104th, it was a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah.
If anything, I think it really built up the love for baseball that my players felt. And I baseball's always been my favorite sport for a whole host of reasons. Where I lived in central Massachusetts, we sent a team every year out to the Cooperstown Dreams Park. It's in Milford, New York. It's probably 4 or 5 miles from Cooperstown itself. And there's this, between June and late August, they run a weekly tournament. And they have anywhere between 104 to 108 teams per week. So for, 13 weeks, you can imagine how many folks come and play baseball there. They have 22 beautifully manicured and built up baseball diamonds. And it's really a pretty amazing time. I mean, I think anybody who's ever been there, who's listening to me right now, is almost inevitably, even if they had sort of the same amount of success we had, looks back on it with great fondness.
But let me ask you sort of about the evolution of your feelings about this, because you say when you get to Cooperstown, or to where these parks are, you write, "I sensed trouble the first day." So what happened that first day that made you think, uh-oh, this was trouble?
Well, was I naive. I mean, we worked out, we had our team together for about a year, and then just prior to the tournament, we lost probably half the team to injuries and changing vacation plans. So we had, we sort of put the team together. It took us about a month just prior to the tournament, and I didn't really understand before we went what the opposition was going to be like.
Yeah.
There are programs that, like the coach I spoke with on that first day, that they literally have to, their teams draw players from, 3-4 hour radii from where they live. They play 10 months, 11 months. Some of these programs are playing 12 months a year outdoors on grass.
Right, and this is the sort of creating this culture of what you described as these ultra-competitive 12- and 13-year-old baseball players that have the bodies of college players and the skills to match.
We saw players that were I had to remind myself sometimes, this young man is 12 or 13 years old that's throwing this baseball at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And it's, I have two feelings about it. I mean, number one, I was impressed. I was impressed by I'm impressed to anybody that's, finds a passion in their lives and they're dedicated to it. And they're, these kids, a lot of these young guys had, and young women, I should say, there were plenty of young girls playing there that had pretty amazing baseball skills as well. And I was impressed by their dedication and certainly their talent. But, you know, they didn't seem to be having a lot of what we'd recognize as fun. And I feel like, I mean, I respect accomplishment and skill, but at a certain point, you know, baseball ends for all of us. Even the best that ever play the game, it's over with by the time they're, you know, late 30s, early 40s, even if you're the very best.
Right.
And so some of it should be fun, I think.
Absolutely. Well, what about for your kids? Because I know you end up with this, and we're going to get to that. You end up in this story with a pretty good message about what they took away. But I know there was a moment when they were losing again and again and again where you really were sort of beating yourself up like, oh my God, I've killed the game for these poor kids who just wanted to come out and play in a tournament. And instead they're being, you know, demolished by these super athletes.
You know, what kept me up at night was that I didn't feel worthy of these kids because I'm impressed by resilience. Of all the human traits, you know, empathy, love, all that stuff, but yeah. Resilience is what really I admire. And I find it difficult sometimes to talk about these boys because they were the most, you know, I was a Marine or I'm a Marine, and you know, I've been a paramedic for a long time. I've seen when the chips are down, and these boys are probably about the most resilient bunch of young folks I've ever seen in my life. You know, despite you know, certainly when the game ended, when the games would end, and there'd be this sort of 5 minute, 10 minute period after the game where you certainly. It was no fun. Some of these games were not a whole lot of fun, but you know we would talk about what went wrong, what went right. We would just tell them, reinforce that they played their hearts out. They played the game the way it's supposed to be played. They never took a pitch off. They tried their hardest every single play of the game. They never threw baseball gloves. They never argued with each other. It was always this hope that, you know, the next at bat would turn around or the next inning would be the one that we did something great at. And we did. We, you know, when we had triumphs, we celebrated them. You know, we scored our first run of the tournament on a double steal. One of my sons was on third base and one of my sons was on first base. And my son on first base stole second, and my son on third stole home when they tried to throw out my first son. So as a father and a coach, you know, that was pretty
great. Moment.
That was a great moment. You know, we hit one home run the entire tournament, and the home run is big news at this tournament. It's a big deal. And we hit one in the last inning of our last game, and we celebrated that like, you know, like we'd won the World Series. And the funny thing was, you know, the coaches for the other team, the way these boys played, the way they carried themselves, it really, other teams noticed. They really did. Yeah. And
so what was the moment when you sort of managed to make that transition in your own mind from feeling guilty, unworthy of them, thinking that you'd killed baseball, to realizing that even though they'd come in dead last, they were winners in a certain way? You know, what brought you to that conclusion?
It was just watching them, watching how they interacted with each other, the way that, you know, because those two nights, I mean, I write in the essay that I sat outside, and that's not hyperbole. I mean, I literally couldn't sleep. I'd get up and I'd sit outside and just sort of look out over the darkened baseball fields right outside our cabin and think that horrified that these kids are going to hate baseball and never want to hear the word baseball again. And I think I really changed when it changed for me. Probably wasn't until after that last game when, you know, we lost all six quote-unquote regular season games, and then we lost our playoff game. And yet, you know, the boys, I think they almost had more fun just being with each other, meeting the other teams from around the country. It was a special bunch, and I finally made a transition when we were out of it and when we could just enjoy the last day of the tournament as spectators and watch other games. And, you know, part of me, and this sounds a little ridiculous, but part of me sort of felt bad for the teams that went deep into the tournament, because the teams that got knocked out and suddenly you could relax and stop worrying about trying to win every game, they had more fun, you know.
That says something, doesn't it?
It really does. The teams that were in contention, they never got a moment to stop. They never went. We went and had pizza with this team called St. Joe's Fury out of Joliet, Illinois, coached by a firefighter in Illinois. And we went and had pizza with them and sat with them for about 2 hours. You know, there were teams that never experienced that. And so it was an upside to it for sure.
All right, listeners, we want to hear from you about this. We're talking to Ted Flanagan and his story about taking 12 boys to Cooperstown to a baseball tournament in which they finished 104th out of 104 teams, but still took something essential away from this. What does this say about, to you, what does this say to you about the way youth sports culture should be, could be, might be? Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. And let me introduce Jay Atkinson. He's an author. He's been on the show a couple of different times, and he runs the Methuen Fun Hockey League. He advocates for returning sports back to the neighborhood. And Jay, we've talked to you about this issue before, and it's good to have you back.
I'm very happy to be back and with Coach Flanagan, the starry-eyed, innocent young Coach Flanagan next to me.
Well, just respond any way you can. You've heard Coach Flanagan's story about his adventures in Cooperstown. What do you take away from the story?
Well, I've read the Cognoscenti piece twice now, and I'm impressed by a couple of things. I mean, it's thoughtful, it's well-written, and I think that Ted's kids were lucky that they had him for a coach, a thoughtful coach who puts the kids first, to take them to such a tournament, because I think there's only one factual, you know, error or misnomer in the whole article, and that is the idea that there's a subculture of ultra-competitive youth baseball, and fill in any sport, hockey, lacrosse, soccer.
That doesn't exist in your view?
That has become the culture.
Oh, I see.
It's not the subculture. Yeah. It's the culture.
I got you. So you take issue with the word subculture as opposed to, I got you.
Yeah. You see more of the anti-Ted Flanagans coaching these 12 and 13-year-old travel teams in every sport than you see guys who are as nice to the kids who aren't their son as they are to their sons that are on the team. And I think if you subtract Cooperstown from this, because I think every kid should go to Cooperstown with his dad and with his coach and have a chance to see the displays, you know, in Cooperstown itself in the Hall of Fame, also to walk the streets and I took my son there and we hit ground balls on that field that's adjacent that the pros play on every year. So I think that's a great thing. But if you subtract this, the idea of taking baseball players to Cooperstown and just use the average youth tour, like where you're going to take your kids. In hockey, it's Lake Placid. Every youth team wants to go play on the ice where the 1980 Olympic team, you know, won the gold medal. My brother has three young sons playing hockey. When one of them gets on a team and they go to Lake Placid, it's an extra, say, $150 fee for his son to be entered in that tournament. And then it's another $1,500 to take the whole family up there and stay in a hotel after they've already paid $2,500 for hockey for the year, and then they have the joy of getting smoked by teams from Quebec. So they'll bring down Canadian teams of 11 and 12-year-olds, and they'll go 0 for 5, and their goalie will be a nervous wreck. His hair will be falling out like Gump Worsley. I mean, this is what you see in youth sports.
So, Ted Flanagan, what do you think? I mean, having gone through this, how should we change it? I mean, I'm glad this came out well for your guys, and I think Jay makes the point that they were lucky to have you, but I gotta believe that a lot of these kids playing don't have a sort of enlightened coach to kind of put this in perspective for them.
Well, first off, thank you, Jay, for the
the
kind words.
True.
I don't know. You know, I for the most part, most of the coaches I observed at the tournament, at any rate, were in the same vein as I was. I mean, they were, I think most people, it was an amazing tournament to be at, to play baseball 24/7 for an entire week. I think most people understood what a gift it was to be there.
Yeah.
There were certainly some coaches that I saw that had divorced from reality. Coaches screaming and yelling. And like I said, I'm a Marine. I've been yelled at by the best. And yelling doesn't work. It achieves the opposite of the effects you're trying to achieve long term. You might get a brief momentary reaction, positive reaction from it, but it's never made sense to me. And
and arguably breaking in a Marine to do the job he has to do should be looked at differently than presenting a kid.
Well, what
sports.
The yellers forget is that they yell at you at Paris Island to break you down, but then they build you back up.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't that aspect. If you're in the middle of a game and you're screaming like a maniac at the kid on third base because he missed a steal sign, where is the part where you build them back up? That's the part I don't see.
Let's take a couple of calls. Chris is calling from Jamaica Plain. Chris, you're on the air.
Hi, it's great to hear some youth sports folks who are thinking this way. I helped direct a youth program in soccer program in Boston, and And what I want to say about, at least in soccer, what people have found is that a fun soccer-based approach is what leads to great soccer players. That, you know, we have the evidence of the German national team, which revamped everything to focus on fun and not worry about winning until kids are no longer kids, until they're playing for the national team.
Hmm.
And Barcelona and other clubs are really focusing on their kids playing and having fun and developing skills so that they'll be able to be pros. But before then, focus on the fun, downplay results.
Chris, I think we got it, and I'm really glad you put this on the table, and the point of your call there is fun. And Jay Atkinson, let me come to you, because you run the Methuen Fun Hockey League. So respond to Chris, and by way of sort of introducing us to the idea of the Methuen Fun Hockey League.
Well, I can also come back, I think, to Ted's essay, which I said was, you know, really thoughtful in a lot of ways. And I think the seed of the answer to this dilemma appears in one of the latter paragraphs of Ted's essay on Cognoscenti, because he talks about going over to watch the finals of the first place team and the second place team, and his kids were on an adjacent field playing wiffle ball and laughing with the joy of children playing ball the way it should be.
Yeah.
And that's a participatory model. And that's what this fellow, this caller, is talking about with the soccer program, and especially in the elite soccer nations, that's how they do it. If you look at youth sports in America, the statistics from 2014 are there are 45 million boys and girls playing an organized sport, but 80% of them are gone before age 15.
Hmm.
And the reason is, as the pyramid gets skinnier and you get towards the top, just look at youth hockey in my one town of Methuen. There's probably 500 kids playing youth hockey, and there's 18 varsity spots on Methuen High's team. So if you look at the math, and a lot of these coaches refuse to look at the math, you should be making sure your kids learn how to, say, ice skate really well, because that's a skill that you can use for your whole life. You could go skating when you're 70 years old. You could teach your kids and your grandchildren to skate. What they get focused on is pushing their kid through to be one of those 18 that make it out of the 500. That's totally wrong.
Hmm.
And I think in most communities in Massachusetts, recreation departments are taking a bigger role and should take a bigger role. Just one example in Methuen, Bill Pares, the recreation director there, has been for over 20 years, and he runs something in the summer that Ted and I were talking about called Sandlot Baseball. It occurs every Friday. He has four high school varsity players oversee it. No adults. Any kid in town who wants to come down comes down, and they divide into four equal teams, put a high school varsity player's umpire at each field, and just let the kids play. Let them play from dawn until it's time to go home for supper.
Sounds like a good way to go. Ted Flanagan, we're just running out of time. We have probably less than 30 seconds left or so. But just looking forward, you know, will you take a team back to Cooperstown next year?
Next year, I'm not going. No. It's an annual rite of passage from coach to coach. But would I go back in the future? I would love to. It was an amazing experience. I think even with going back again, maybe couldn't recreate the kids that I went with, but the experience itself, absolutely.
Well, Ted Flanagan is a professor at Northern Essex Community College. He also coaches his son's baseball team. You can find a link to his piece on WBUR's Cognoscenti opinion page. It's entitled, "They Came in 104th out of 104 Teams and They Won Big." Ted, thanks so much for sharing the story and for talking about this important subject with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And Jay Atkinson runs the Methuen Fun Hockey League Skate and Read program. He's also an author. His new book is Massacre on the Merrimack, Hannah Duston's Captivity and Revenge in Colonial America. Jay, always a pleasure to have you. Thank you for coming.
Same here. Great to see you, Anthony.
Stay with us. Coming up, Gregory Maguire, author of Wicked and much more, falls into Wonderland with his new book, After Alice. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.